wonder if we can just take a moment in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And thank you for the way that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. And you have revealed yourself to us through the prompting of your Holy Spirit. And Father, as we just take some time now looking into your word, we do thank you for your Spirit, and we pray that your Spirit will comfort us, guide us, encourage us, convict us, challenge us. And we pray, Father, that you'll be honoured, glorified as a result. And so we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we kick off a series in personal evangelism, I'd like to share something of my family history, of the testimony of God's goodness to my family. Albert Wesley Christian and Olive Agnes Baker were both born in 1906. They met at the age of 15 and a romance blossomed on the tennis court, and many of their games went to love all. Neither of their families had anything to do with the church. Neither of their families had any Christian heritage whatsoever. They were, however, married in a small country Methodist church because Olive thought that it was the right thing to do. So Tup and Ollie, my grandparents, were married in 1925 at the age of 19, when Ollie was 4 months pregnant with my father. Now consider for a moment that this was a time when people were quick to judge, when being with child before marriage was a scandal. Poor form, highly frowned upon, and no doubt they carried this shame and social stigma for many years. But somebody, a Christian, took an interest in them, reached out and befriended them. Somebody who had read and understood the words that Amy has just brought to us from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God has committed to you and I the message of reconciliation. As his ambassadors, he makes his appeal through us to those who don't know him, to be reconciled to him, with him. And so this somebody saw, back in 1925, a young couple, both only 19, bowed down in shame and took an interest in them and cared for them. Somebody developed a relationship with them and then invited them along to a Dr. Hendrickson evangelistic crusade in 1928, and together they both gave their hearts, their lives, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They understood and believed that God so loved them that he gave his only son for them, and that whoever, they included, whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. They understood that God didn't hold their sin against them, but forgave them, and they were reconciled to God. Now, this was the start of a chain reaction, a chain of events that has been quite a powerful work of God. And what I'm about to share is not to elevate my extended family. It's not that at all. But to praise God and so highlight what a difference a somebody, even a nobody, can have for the kingdom of God. What if that person, that somebody, don't know who it was, what if that person had never invited Tupanoli to hear the gospel? What if that person had reneged on the prompting of the Holy Spirit? What if that person had not taken those words seriously, that God has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation? Well, Tupanoli lived on a farm that was just in the Wimmera in Victoria. Their boundary fence to the north was the rabbit-proof fence that divided the Wimmera from the Mallee. It's very dry, sandy country. It was opened up as soldier settlers' blocks following World War I. It's not easy country to farm, and the bad years seem to outnumber the good. But Nana and Grandad began on their journey of faith in the Brentwood Baptist Church. Just a simple weatherboard structure on stumps in the corner of a paddock. They had four children, three of whom chose to follow Jesus. That's the four children behind Nana and Grandad. My dad on the left. Auntie Mona is next in line to Dad. Was the second born. She married Ray Sprigg, and both of whom were very good tennis players, and apparently Uncle Ray could have gone on to professional tennis. However, he, along with Auntie Mona, chose to focus on Jesus and serving him. Uncle Ray became a Baptist minister, and he commenced ministry in inner Melbourne, in South Yarra, of all places. It's a tough, hurting community. And he was just a country boy. Didn't like the city at all. But he had a long-term ministry in a church on the outskirts of Geelong, and was a key force behind setting up a campsite at Anglesey, where many young people have given their lives to Jesus. They also spent a number of years in Fawali Hill in Zambia. They were teaching and training pastors at a Bible school there. And I think thousands of lives have been touched by the gospel through Uncle Ray and Auntie Mona. What if somebody had not taken an interest in Nana and Grandad? What if Ray and Mona had said no to God? I want to mention my dad. Handsome looking fellow, isn't he? No, he didn't. He didn't have hair, Rog. But Dad left school at the age of 13. He gave his life to God at the age of 16. Dad left school at the end of grade 8, and he always considered himself to be dumb. All of his kids went on to year 11 or 12, and he considered himself to be dumb. He loved tennis, but he also had a keen interest in photography and film. And on our farm when I grew up, was a little bit further north, so we were just into the Mallee. This was a time when mains electricity was not readily available, and so every farm had their own 32-volt power plant. Dad, however, had a 16mm cinema-quality film projector and his own 240-volt portable power plant. My eldest brother remembers Dad being away either Friday or Saturday night, almost every weekend, somewhere within a 100k radius, and he screened Billy Graham films. I'm getting emotional. This is in the 1960s. This was to crowds of people as they gathered in public halls, churches, and people's homes. Dad was no public speaker. He hated being out in front. But he found a way in which he could reach out and where God could use his passion, his gifts, his abilities. And I wonder how many people came to the Lord through Billy Graham, through my dad. What if Dad had said no? Paul said this in Romans chapter 12. For by grace, the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is in prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Though we are many, we form one body. Each member belongs to all the others, but we all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Every one of us here has been given at least one gift from the Lord. Dad considered himself uneducated, but he found a niche in being an ambassador for Christ, an avenue of reconciliation, a light in the darkness. I wonder how you might be able to use your gifts and abilities, your passions for the Lord. I want to encourage you to pray about that and ask God to reveal to you how he might use the passions and the gifts that he's given to you for him. Again, I don't hold up my family for special recognition or praise, but I tell you this because this is part of my story. This is part of God's story of how God works through us with the gifts and the passion that he instills into us and how that impacts our world. You impact your world. This is a story about the power of the gospel and the pure grace of God, but also the results of obedience. Individuals trying to be Christ wherever God has placed them, and the ongoing ripple effect that the gospel can have. Your faithfulness to the Lord may have a profound impact into our world. And so my dad, Gordon, married Grace in 1949, and together they created 8 children. 4 of each. But Mum and Dad were both mission focused. As a teenager, Mum wanted to be a missionary. However, she went to teachers' college and became a primary school teacher. She loved kids, but she also had a heart for mission. And we lived just 1 mile down the road from the Brentwood Baptist Church. And so whenever missionaries came to the church, they came to our place. They came either for a meal or to stay the night or the weekend. And as kids, we had like a front seat row listening to these missionaries talk about where they were and what they were doing. We're enthralled by their lives and their service. And so 6 of us went through Bible college, 3 serving as missionaries in Africa, along with some of my nephews and nieces who have also served in Africa, many others from the extended family, cousins, etc., have also been very involved in the Lord's Church. And of course, you, if you're part of this church, you know of Phil and Carol Short. My eldest sister Carol gave her heart to Jesus at the age of 10, and she told him that she would go wherever he wanted her to go. 50 years ago this year, they went to Niger and have served the Muslim Fulani nomadic people ever since. Now, Carol is 74, and they would love to go back, but at the moment, it's just too dangerous, with Russian military having aligned itself and situated itself with the government there in Niger. But there are now Fulani evangelists. I wonder how many Fulani have moved from darkness into light, into God's kingdom. How many more will? What if Carol and Phil had never said yes to God? What if nobody had taken an interest in my nana and granddad? Again, I bring this message today because this is God's story of his grace to our family, his faithfulness down through the generations. And I know that some of you have similar stories, life stories. But this all started for us, when somebody took an interest in my non-Christian grandparents who found themselves with child before marriage at the age of 19 back in 1925, when this was a great scandal. What if that someone never took an interest in my grandparents? And I put it in those terms, took an interest. Our influence into another life may be best received when we simply take an interest in them. We don't go trying to win them per se, but allow the Holy Spirit to lead them to Jesus as we show genuine love and concern for them. Who can you think of that perhaps you could take a genuine interest in? Be genuinely interested in their lives. As ambassadors for Christ, entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation, this is the first step, to show a genuine interest in people. Why? Because it's the second part of the greatest commandment, to love your neighbour as yourself. Now, we tend to have no trouble at all on focusing on the first part of the commandment. I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my strength. But we also tend to ignore the second part, love our neighbour. Show genuine interest. God has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation, entrusted it to you and I. There is no plan B for bringing the lost into his family. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You and I are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And God makes his appeal through us to a lost and dying world as we ask them to be reconciled to God. He's entrusted to you and I the task of telling others about Jesus. As there are millions upon millions of people around the globe, and there are thousands upon thousands of people around where we live who have no understanding of the love that God has for them, who don't realise that there's a spiritual battle going on for their soul, that without Christ they're heading for an eternity without him, do we care? I trust that the Lord might give us a burden for the lost. Throughout this series, I trust that we will gain that greater burden for the lost. We will pray for the lost. We will be motivated to take an interest in their lives, those outside of the church family. Can we begin to engage with people? Can we show an interest in them? Can we demonstrate genuine love, care, compassion, grace? Can we pray? Can we be aware and listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? And can we ask the Lord, even right at this early stage, with the things that I'm passionate about and the gifts that God has given to me, how can I use them to touch those around me? Can we start there? Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. I thank you that somebody took an interest in my grandparents and that they chose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. I thank you for the impact and the influence that that's had upon my family. But Father, I know that I speak on behalf of many within this room who have similar stories, that we are so grateful for the way that you have revealed yourself to us and drawn us to yourself. But Father, would you help us to take seriously that you have entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation, that you want us to be helping people to come into a relationship with you. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you afresh, but we thank you for your faithfulness to us over the generations. And we know that you will continue to be good and faithful, our loving Father. And so we thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And to stand and sing our closing song.